إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, seek His aid and ask His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil which is in ourselves. And we seek refuge in Allah from our evil actions. من يهده الله فلا مضل له. Whoever Allah guides, there is none who can misguide him. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. And whoever Allah allows to be misguided, there is none who can guide him. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. I bear witness, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone and he has no partners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the worship of Allah and his final messenger. Amma ba'd, fa inna khayr al-hadith kitabullah. Thereafter, the best speech is the book of Allah. Wa khayr al-huda huda an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa inna sharr al-umuri muhdathatuha. And the most evil affairs are those matters which people have innovated into Islam. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. Every innovation is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance only leads to the fire. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O people of Iman, fear Allah as He ought to be feared, and do not die except in a state of being Muslims. Ibadallah, we are living in blessed days, the days of Ramadan, which Allah has honored for us to live them once again. And what are they except a few hours? These days, the days of Ramadan, and that which remains, only a few hours. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He described the days of Ramadan. He said, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتِ. A limited number of days. A set number of days. So these days of Ramadan, they are blessed. They contain barakah. However, they are ma'duda. They are limited. They are only a set number. And we should always take a lesson and contemplate from that which has preceded. Many days of Ramadan have already passed, and a few short number of days only remain. So Ramadan, my brothers and sisters, is like a guest. And this guest only knocks on our doors once in a year. And when the guest comes, it brings with it many gifts and many glad tidings. However, this noble guest doesn't remain long. Very quick to go and very slow to return. Ikhwat al-Iman. Five pieces of advice that I put forth for you and me that we can benefit from. The first nasiha, the first advice, is that we have to understand why we fast. Many people, they make a mistake when they try to explain the reason why fasting is legislated. So if a person is asked, why do you fast? Perhaps he will say that I fast to cultivate self-discipline. Or another person will say that the reason why fasting was legislated was to cultivate people upon time management. Other people, they will say the reason why fasting is legislated is because it brings about good health. And others, they will mention social reasons like helping the poor and helping the community. And all of these reasons are secondary benefits behind fasting. Maybe a fasting person will attain these benefits, and maybe he will not obtain these benefits. But these reasons which I have mentioned, they are not the primary objective behind fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He summarized the reason why fasting was legislated in two words. He said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So you may develop piety. You may develop righteousness. You may be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why fasting has been legislated. So why do we fast? Shukran lillah. We fast out of gratitude to Allah for the blessings which He has given us. We fast hubban lillah, because we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He's our Lord. He's our Creator. He's our guide and He's our protector. We fast ta'atan li amrihi, in obedience to His command. Because it is Allah who obligated upon us fasting. We fast khawfan min iqabihi. We fast out of fear of His punishment. That if we don't fulfill this obligation, then perhaps we are deserving of the punishment of Allah. We fast raghbatan fi thawabihi. We fast in desiring His reward. Wa tam'an fi maghfiratihi, and hoping for His forgiveness. We fast talaban lil jannah, because we seek paradise. Harban min an-nar, and we are fleeing from the fire. And these are the reasons why we fast. La'allakum tattaqun, so you may develop at-taqwa. And the second piece of advice that I put forth for myself and my brothers and sisters is that we should understand the true essence of fasting, the reality of fasting. Ask yourself a question. What does Allah benefit from you in you not eating or drinking? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not benefit anything from our hunger and our thirst and our lack of sleep. And therefore this question, it illustrates that the true essence of fasting is not the state of a person's stomach. Rather, the true essence of fasting extends to the state of a person's heart and his soul, and also his limbs, his eyes and what he looks at, his ears and what he listens to, his feet and where he goes towards, his hands and that which he touches. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man lam yada' qawl az-zur wal 'amal bihi," whoever does not abandon false speech and acting upon false speech, "falaysa lillahi haja an yada'a ta'amahu wa sharabahu," then Allah has no need for this person to abandon his food and drink. A person who doesn't abandon false speech in Ramadan, meaning lying, backbiting, insulting and oppressing other people. And he doesn't abandon false actions like dhulm, oppression, and cheating, and deceiving other people, and taking the rights of the people, and taking the wealth of the people, and also listening to haram, and looking at haram, and going towards haram, and consuming haram, buying and selling haram, then what benefit is there for Allah in this person abandoning his food and drink? So we shouldn't be from those people that our fasting only extends to the state of our stomachs and nothing more than this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clarified the sad situation of such a person. He said, "Rubba sa'imin hadhuhu min siyamihi al-ju' wal-atash," that perhaps a fasting person, his only portion of the reward is hunger and thirst. "Wa rubba qa'imin," and perhaps a person who prays. "Wa hadhuhu min qiyamihi," however, his only share of the reward of the night prayer is as-sahar, is tiredness and a lack of sleep. So this person, the reason why he only benefited hunger and thirst and tiredness is because his fasting and his praying did not extend beyond his stomach. It was only hunger and thirst. But the one who rectifies his niyyah, his intention, and he has at-taqwa, and he guards his limbs, and he's careful about that which he looks at and that which he hears, this person will have the greater reward. The third piece of advice, that this blessed month, the month of Ramadan, Shahrul Ibadah, it is the month of Ibadah. And what is the meaning of Ramadan being the month of Ibadah? The first meaning is that many different types of Ibadat have been legislated in Ramadan, like fasting, like praying the night prayer, the recitation of the Quran, giving a sadaqah, opening the fast of the people, a dua wal istighfar, and many other types of ibadat. However, there is a second meaning behind Shahrul Ibadah. And that is that a fasting person, if he rectifies his intention, every minute of the day he's in Ibadah. Every hour of the day and he's attaining reward. And how is this? Contemplate the daily life of a fasting person. This person, he wakes up in the morning. And he wakes up in the morning only to eat and drink for a suhoor. However, he is rewarded for his eating and drinking. Not because of the eating and drinking itself. Because he is implementing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Tasahharu fa inna fi suhoori baraka." Take your suhoor because there is blessing in a suhoor. So when a person eats and drinks before dawn, and he does it in fulfilling the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is in ibadah, even though he's only eating and drinking. And then this person, he stops eating and drinking all the way until sunset. Every minute of that fast and every hour of that fast, he's being rewarded. And he's in ibadah if his intention is correct. And then iftar comes and he's quick to break the fast. He breaks the fast at the first instance and he is rewarded. Even though it is only food and drink. But he isn't rewarded for the eating and drinking in of itself. But he is rewarded because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا يزال الناس بخير ما عجلوا الإفطار. That the people will always remain upon goodness if they are quick to break the fast. So because he is implementing the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even in eating and drinking, he is rewarded. And then after iftar, the person may rest for an hour. And he sits with his family. Or maybe he sleeps for a short while. And he is rewarded. Even when he's resting and not doing anything. And maybe he's sleeping, he's still rewarded. Why is he rewarded? Because his intention is, I am resting in order to go pray at Taraweeh. I am recovering in order to go pray at Taraweeh. So that hour of resting, that hour of sleep, that hour of talking with your family, with the correct intention, it is ibadah. And you are rewarded for it. Then after this, a person comes to the masjid and prays Salatul Taraweeh or Qiyam al-Layl. And he is rewarded because he is in prayer. And then after this, a person returns back home and he sleeps. And he sleeps for a number of hours. In that sleep, he is still being rewarded. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man qama ma'al imami hatta yansarif," that whoever stands with the imam, i.e. in the night to pray in Taraweeh, until the imam finishes, "Kutiba lahu qiyam al-layl kulli," then it is written for him as if he is praying the whole night in prayer. So this person, he's sleeping, or he's with his family, and he isn't thinking about anything, and yet he's being rewarded. The angels are writing as if he's still in qiyam al-layl. And then the person wakes up for suhoor the next morning. So you see from this person that even when he's eating and drinking and resting and sleeping, he's in al-ibadah. But when is this? When the intention is correct. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban." Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with iman, with faith, with iman, wa ihtisab, and he has the intention that Allah is rewarding me, I'm doing it for the sake of Allah, in submission to my Lord, then Allah forgives his sins. The fourth piece of advice with regards to Ramadan is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he attached Ramadan to the month of Quran. He said, "Shahru Ramadan الذي أنزل فيه القرآن." The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed. And therefore, we should attach as much importance as we can to reciting the Quran. But not only reciting the Quran, also studying the Quran. And this is why the Quran was revealed. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. So that people may contemplate and think and study about the ayat, or study the ayat of the Quran. And did you know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Ramadan, every single night, he would sit with somebody and they would revise and study the Quran every single night. And do you know who this was? Jibreel alayhi salam. Like in the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma in the Sahihain. He said, "Kana Jibreel alayhi salam yalqa an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kulla laylatin min Ramadan." That Jibreel alayhi salam, he would come and he would meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam every night of Ramadan. And then he said, فَيُدَارِسُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. And then he would teach him the Qur'an, revise the Qur'an with him. And therefore those people who sit and recite and study the Qur'an, who are they following? They are following the Sunnah of Jibreel alayhi salam and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And for this reason, Ibn Rajab in Al-Lataif, he said, وَدَّلَّ الْحَدِيثِ على استحباب دراسة القرآن في رمضان. That this hadith, it proves or it shows that it is recommended for a person to study the Quran in Ramadan. والاجتماع على ذلك. And the people should congregate in studying the Quran. And then the fifth piece of advice, إخوة الإيمان, is that we have to utilize these days in preparing for the Akhirah. We said أيام معدودات. Only a short number of days, a set number of days, and then they will pass by us. And we don't know whether Allah will extend our lives to the next Ramadan. Because life and death is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody controls life and death except Allah jalla sha'nuhu. And therefore we have to take our provisions for the akhirah. And the best provisions which you can take on this journey is at-taqwa and righteous actions. Like Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ. Whatever you do from goodness, Allah knows of it. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. And take your provisions, because the best provisions are at-taqwa. And the intelligent person, the successful person, he invests from the temporary life for the eternal life. The successful person, the intelligent person, he invests from his wealth in this life for the delight of the Akhirah. So we are living blessed days in this blessed month, the month of Ramadan. And already a number of nights and a number of days have passed by us. And soon the second third of the night of Ramadan will pass. And then we will be looking at the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And then Eid will come. And then we will regret. But this regret will be of no benefit. So these hours, these days, starting from today and tomorrow, this is what we have to benefit from. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والحمد لله رب العالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أيها العباد الله سبحانه وتعالى he has legislated a certain type of ibadah in the day of Ramadan, and that is as-sawm, fasting. And he has also legislated a certain type of ibadah in the nights of Ramadan, and it is qiyam al-layl or at-taraweeh, congregating in the masajid and praying at-taraweeh after al-isha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man qama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, ghafara Allahu dhanbahu." That whoever stands in Ramadan, meaning in prayer, out of iman and ihtisab, Allah forgives his sins. And the correct sunnah, or the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is for 11 raka'at to be prayed in at-taraweeh. And this was the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as was narrated by Ummuna Aisha radiallahu anha in Sahih Bukhari. She said, ما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يزيد في رمضان ولا في غير رمضان على 11 raka'ah. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would never exceed 11 raka'at inside Ramadan or outside Ramadan. So the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that which is closer to his guidance and that which is better, is for a person to pray 11 raka'at in at-taraweeh. However, this doesn't mean that we say it is haram or we say it is a bid'ah for a person to pray more. We don't say this. Rather, the fuqaha and the madhahib, they have unanimously agreed that it is permitted for a person to pray more than 11 raka'ah or pray less than 11 raka'ah. And this has been narrated by some of the companions in a number of narrations. And the ulama, they mention the ijma' of the scholars that a person is allowed to exceed 11 rak'at in Taraweeh because it is only nafal. And a person can pray more or a person can pray less. So for example, Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimullah in his explanation of Sahih Muslim, he mentioned the statement of Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, who said, لَا خِلَافَ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ فِي ذَلِكَ حَدْ. He said, there is no difference, i.e. amongst the scholars, that there is no limit when it comes to At-Taraweeh. يُزَادُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا يُنْقَصُ عَنْ. That a person cannot exceed more or pray less. And also Ibn Abd al-Barr, he said, وَلَيْسَ فِي عَدَدِ الرَّكَعَاتِ مِنْ صَلَاةَ اللَّيْلِ حَدٌ مَحْدُودٌ. He said that there is no set limit for the rak'at when it comes to the night prayer. And also, he said, الْإِجْمَاعَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ لَا حَدَّ لَهُ طُولًا وَلَا كَثْرَةً وَلَا قِلَّةً. He said there is complete agreement that there is no limit to the Taraweeh, how many you pray, how less you pray, or how long you pray. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he mentioned a very balanced statement. He said that if a person stands or extends each rak'ah of a Taraweeh, then he can pray less rak'ahs. And if a person decreases the length of each rak'ah, then he can pray more rak'ahs. So we say that what is closer to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is 11 or 13 rak'ahs. Like in the hadith of Aisha and Ibn Umar radiallahu anhum ajma'in. However, it is permitted for a person to increase more than this or decrease less than this. هذا وصلوا وسلموا على من أمرتم بالصلاة والسلام عليه. القائل من صلى علي صلاة واحدة صلى الله عليه بها عشرة. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم ارض عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة الأكرمين. اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أذل الشرك والمشركين. اللهم دمر أعداءك أعداء الدين. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح ذات بيننا وألف بين قلوبنا واهدنا سبل السلام. اللهم بارك لنا في أسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا وأزواجنا وذرياتنا واجعلنا مباركين أينما كنا. اللهم تقبل منا صيامنا وقيامنا. اللهم تقبل منا ركوعنا وسجودنا. اللهم إنا نسألك عملا صالحا يقربنا إليك. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمشائخنا وللمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم وأقم الصلاة.